Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, here I go.
Well, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really gotta feed my head.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, also known as the Natural Sister, here to dish up some deliciously delectable consciousness-raising creations for your mind, body, and soul. I would like to thank the wonderful Gay Adegbolola, whose Hungry Woman Blues just leads us into the show, and we'll hear her a little bit later taking us out of the show. And we have a cure for the hungry woman and the hungry man blues, too, on this show. We're on second Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We serve up education on natural and holistic healing to feed your mind, body, and soul. So before we get started with this month's guest and topic, I will tell you a little bit about myself. I founded Mind, Body, and Spirit Works, whose mission is to facilitate restoration of balance to mind, body, and spirit through divinely inspired holistic healing and education services. Now, my point of view has been shaped from a former 10-year career as a psychotherapist, as well as my current work with the body through massage, Reiki energy healing, and conscious catering, my work providing healing workshops, teaching public speaking, and facilitating conscious communication. I truly believe in empowering individuals to restore balance in their lives, understanding the importance of addressing our mental and emotional, physical, and spiritual needs in the process. So this radio program, Mind, Body, and Soul Food, provides an opportunity each month to expose our listeners to a variety of holistic healers who can nourish our mind, body, and soul. So, like every evening, this evening we will chat about a topic that indeed feeds the mind, body, and soul, which is volunteering. Now, many of us value giving back to the universe through serving others in some way. Our volunteering gives us a feel-good sensation in our heart. At least I know it does for me. And some of the most meaningful times in my life have been through volunteering. Even as a child growing up, I volunteered through my church and the local 4-H club. We were visiting nursing homes, adopting a highway, and picking up the trash along it. That wasn't always fun, but you still get a good feeling doing it. When I went to college, I taught literacy, and with my sorority, I visited more nursing homes. I volunteered at a mental hospital, as well as at bingo games for the fire department. I read to children at the library and also ran a Saturday enrichment program for children. Once I left college, other opportunities opened up, so I've served on various boards, I've gathered and donated food items and clothing, and I've also chaired or participated on committees with my church. And one of the fun things that I do, I've also periodically donated my massage and Reiki services to hospital staff or women's centers, and I've found that donating a massage gift certificate is really popular for silent auctions, so I'm able to serve in that way as well. However, I have to tell you, the most meaningful service for me personally was spending some days doing office work for Habitat for Humanity, because that work that I did helped provide the sweat equity hours needed for my mom to obtain a new home. So I felt lately that personally for me, I had been falling down a little bit with volunteering other than my church work. So I made a commitment to volunteer at least once a week. And, you know, I did a little research, and I just totally missed April as National Volunteer Month. And so I decided July was good enough. There's no season for volunteerism. So I spent a full day out in rural Virginia providing healing at a sweat lodge with clients of a local rape crisis center. I also provided food for hospitality at my chapel. I serve as a board member at my chapel, and so we had board meetings, and as secretary, I kept the minutes. One week, I also provided energy healing during our meditation and healing service prior to the main service. Also, I'm still in the process, actually, of doing this, helping to edit the manuscript of a friend of mine who is a writer. There are just so many different opportunities out there, but what I found that worked best for me was doing something that fed my passion. And so, you know, I'm passionate about my mom. I'm passionate about my chapel community, cooking, healing, and writing. So I've found it's easier to integrate volunteering into my life when I love what I do. So when my planned August guests had to cancel, I was guided to feature volunteering here on Mind, Body, and Soul Food. And Spirit did a very nice download one morning with the name of the guest to ask, and that's Claudia Thorne. Now, all I knew about Claudia at the time was that she was one of the spiritual life coaches that used to work with the Yanla Van Zandt at the Intervisions Institute for Spiritual Development, and that she was a bigwig of some sort at a nonprofit organization in Washington, D.C. So, as you can imagine, I was thrilled when she said yes. And I was even more thrilled to learn that she's actually the executive director of Community Family Life Services, which utilizes volunteers to help individuals overcome life's challenges. So this lady knows about volunteering. So I'd like to give a great big Mind, Body, and Soul Food welcome to you, Claudia.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Good evening, good evening, good evening. What a divine opportunity to be on your radio program.
Well, it is certainly wonderful for me, and I know for all of the listeners out there. If you could just get us started off in telling us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, as you mentioned, I am a spiritual life coach, and a social worker and executive director of Community Family Life Service. And my life has been a life of service and a life of service and support to others in living their best lives. At Community Family Life Services, our mission is to serve and support persons who are living in poverty and homelessness to move on to self-sufficiency and becoming prosperous. And we've been around for 42 years now, and volunteers are essential to that effort. As a matter of fact, Community Family Life Services, like many nonprofit organizations, was founded through the vision of volunteers who saw a need in a community and they responded to that need. So I think that tells you a little bit about who I am and what I do. And I'd say my first volunteer experiences, like you, Tanya, were back in elementary school, working in daycare centers, working in churches, collecting funds to feed the homeless and hungry overseas, and it's just a life that has continued.
Wonderful. So not only do you help facilitate the process, you have a strong grounding in it yourself.
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Well, you know, Claudia, we've been Facebook friends for a couple of years or so, and it's interesting being on Facebook. You learn more about people than you do when you run into them on a basis, you know, on a regular basis. And
mm-hmm.
So I've seen how much you are in full academic mode. I know
full
you were working
mode.
On. You've been working on getting your doctorate.
Yes, I'm getting a doctorate in social work. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a doctorate in social work. I was blessed with the opportunity to return back to school at my age. I'm over the age of 50. And
look great.
Yeah, thank you. And being in class with the young'uns is quite an interesting learning experience. But going back to school and just really one of the papers that I had to do that I did, I've been involved very closely and working very closely with the Washington Area Women's Foundation, and I co-chaired the African American Women's Giving Circle. And the African American Women's Giving Circle is a group of women who come together who looked at how we can address the needs of women and girls in the Washington, D.C. community through our time, through our talent, and through our treasures. And so we give money, and we work with other organizations for uplift. And when I went back to school, I was taking a course in social welfare policy, and I learned about the proliferation of Negro women's clubs at the end of the post-enslavement period. And African women, through their volunteer efforts, were responsible for building schools, hospitals, churches, nursing homes. As a matter of fact, after Harriet Tubman finished her illustrious work on the Underground Railroad, her first really philanthropic effort was to establish a nursing home for the aged. So there is a rich tradition that we can build upon historically as volunteers in our communities. You know, it has always been there. It's a part of who we are.
That is amazing to
hear.
What comes to mind for me is the African proverb, when spider webs unite, they could bind up a lion.
Mm-hmm.
Or something similar to that. And so just thinking about just an individual effort working with the collective and how schools and hospitals and the like can be built. When people think that, well, I don't know, there's nothing that I can do, I really think they're short-sighted because you never know the impact of one person's efforts.
Absolutely. You never know the impact of one person's efforts, and you never know the impact of the collective effort. Let's say at the Washington Area Women's Foundation, for our African American Women's Giving Circle, we pull resources and make contributions to make a difference from either $1,000 on upwards. And very often we make gifts to organizations such as Community Family Life Services that are significant, that provide opportunities for youth to go to summer camp, that provide opportunities for tutorial services, that provide opportunities for housing programs. It just goes on and on. So what happens is individually there is the financial benefit of giving, but collectively you're able to do so much more to bring about social and community change.
Okay. Now, you told us about the mission of Community Family Life Services.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious as to, you know, break it down for me as to how you might actually make use of a volunteer within this mission.
Okay, well, let me tell you a little bit more about our organization, what we do.
Okay.
As I mentioned, we were founded to address issues of homelessness and poverty. And so we run affordable housing for people who are formerly homeless. So we have one program, our Trinity Arms program, that houses 17 women who were formerly homeless with their children. And they are able to live with us for 2 years, and during that time, they attend groups, they have life skills, their children are enrolled in school and provided with opportunities for summer camp. They attend job training, and eventually we just about have 100% are able to move into permanent housing within 2 years. We also operate a shelter for single men and women, many of whom they're older with physical and mental disabilities. And our Milestone Place shelter, which is located in Washington, D.C., also provides affordable and safe housing for people who were formerly on the street, many of whom with a history of mental illness or substance abuse, or who are currently HIV positive. We provide food. We provide clothing for people to walk into our agency, as well as referrals to other concrete services within the city. We provide support with job training and obtaining employment and supporting people with getting placed in employment. We run an after-school program in Southeast Washington, D.C., as well as a summer camp that's just wrapping up. And the goals of our after-school program and summer camp are to provide opportunities for academic enrichment as well as self-worth. We run two mentoring programs, one for families who are low income that are matched with families who are, that are not low income for coaching around, you know, decision-making and life skills. And we also have a program where we mentor 100 youth in that are currently in foster care. So we provide mentors, volunteer mentors for 100 youth who are in foster care. And we run a parent education program. So, you know, with all of that going on,
I know,
we
I'm
have a big need. And our volunteers serve as tutors, as mentors for youth, as coaches for families. They distribute. We have one group from the Lutheran Church that runs our food bank. Then that's completely volunteer. We have another group from another church that distributes clothing. We have people who volunteer to bring clothing in. So we have a big clothing room. We're always in need of furniture. We're in need of office supplies. The volunteer list is endless, and it just goes on and on and on. And to be quite frankly, some of the things that volunteers do, they will arrange to paint our building. Let's say, for example, the building that we have for 35 people. We had 100 volunteers last year come and paint the entire building. I didn't know how it was going to be done, but they painted the entire building within a five-hour period of time. That's
really
important because that's money that we don't have to spend on facilities maintenance, and it allows us to focus our resources on direct services.
That is amazing. I mean, all I can say right now is wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, so I would say that you all do a great job of tapping into the community and finding volunteers for various services that you offer. And I see that it has benefit your organization a great deal. Can you share with us some stories about how volunteering has been helpful for some individuals or families?
As a matter of fact, I'm always getting testimony. So I have a couple. I'm going to read one, and then I want to hear your comments on that. And if you have others, then, you know, I can, you know, read them to you. This testimony is from a woman in our family-to-family volunteer, a family-to-family mentoring program. And she says, "I love and appreciate the family-to-family mentoring program. I've come a long way, and my journey has been really tough at times. I'm so thankful for a program that helped me on my journey to freedom, self-sufficiency, and success. I appreciate the many resources provided to me and my family and for all the encouragement and support from my mentor and program staff. 1 year ago, I would have not dreamed of holding a high school diploma in my hands. Now, on June 10, 2011, my name will be called as a 48-year-old woman. I will be a proud graduate. I have a job waiting for me as soon as I can show my diploma. My mentor encouraged and believed in me when I did not have the faith to follow through and persevere. Many times she called me exactly when I needed it, without even knowing what was going on that particular day, and it gave me the courage and the strength to keep on going and to stay focused on my goals. She was always there when I needed, not only with encouraging words, but with practical assistance, such as a ride to pick up groceries or to take care of other important business. I fondly remember the many conversations we had. Thank you for believing in me and walking the extra mile.
I'm just breathing that in. That is amazing. It clearly had such a profound impact on that particular individual and the family.
Exactly.
Because I'm a firm believer that even if an individual is impacted, it's going to impact the people closest to them. And of course, this is a family-based program, that particular program is. But look at how it empowered the mother.
Yeah, at age 48, to go back to school and get a high school diploma. And so the modeling that, you know, that the courage that it takes and the support that it takes, and that's the importance of volunteers working in partnership with organizations to really bring about that kind of success for a person who is, you know, going through many transitions. And I think also, as she says, it's the encouragement and the support. Just someone to say, yes, you can do it. You can do it. I got your back. I'm holding the vision. I'm praying for you. I'll be there at your graduation. Just being that rah, rah, yes, you can team is so important. And her children get to see their mother going back to get a high school diploma at age 48.
Yay.
Hey, that's really very powerful and amazing.
Yeah. You know, I think, Claudia, that there are times when people get closed in thinking inside the box about volunteering. And, you know, April is National Volunteer Month, but I think there's a lot of activity that tends to happen around the major holidays, in particular Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
And, you know, food drives and things like that. But there are so many opportunities that are out there every day.
Every day.
And to not just collect it, there's nothing wrong with collecting food and donating it and, you know, clothing drives and adopting a family on the tree, et cetera. That's wonderful. But just think about this outside-the-box type volunteering that this family program provides where, you know, someone can be a mentor to a family.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing. That's very exciting.
It's very exciting, but I think you raise some really interesting issues. I think there are some people, and it's okay, they want to have a short-term engagement with their volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is the donating the food, volunteering at a cleanup. It's a one-shot deal. Okay, and that's great because organizations need that. And then there's also sustained volunteerism, which, you know, this person has been a mentor for a couple of years, okay, and that's a longer engagement and a longer commitment. So what I think is real important is for the volunteer, prospective volunteer, to really sit down and look into their heart and see where they're being led to volunteer. And then making the appropriate choice because the range of volunteer activities is just phenomenal.
It can be a little overwhelming, too.
Yeah, but I think it's also looking at your skill set and what you do. You know, for example, we have many of our high schools, many high school students will call the agency, and they're appropriate for a cleanup or providing a breakfast. I forgot to mention, we feed homeless on Saturdays for breakfast. You know, so they will volunteer for that kind of activity. There are other members, people who will volunteer to be on a board. There are other volunteers who will volunteer their professional services. If they're a writer, you can write our newsletter. But what I think is important is to really look at, and what I think is important, is the fact that we're all interconnected. So if we are serving and supporting someone else, it makes our life better because we've given something, we've given of ourselves to others and to uplift someone in our community. And it doesn't have to be, volunteerism does not have to be through a formal organization. Very often it's the neighbor right on the block, it's family members, it's, you know, at the church. There are many ways and many outlets to volunteer. But I think it's important to really look at what you are really moved and led to do.
As I was saying earlier, you know, I realized that I tend to do best when it does feed my passion.
Exactly.
And at one time I was getting so many requests for massage services, volunteering, I had to start to limit them. And now it's like, okay, I have to open myself back up to this and offer this a little bit more because I just see the benefit of it. People get a tangible benefit. Their muscles are loosened. They have a sense of relaxation. And I can see an immediate benefit of the service. And I think I like that. I do like seeing that, to be able to use that skill for that situation. And, of course, I love to feed people, you know. Just giving food, that's a good thing. So, yeah, something that fits within your skill set and you have passion for definitely makes
sense. And I think you mentioned several things. That from the research on volunteerism is showing that volunteers like to volunteer when they see an outcome, they've done something and offered a service and they see a change in a social condition, or as you said, muscles are relaxed, you know, kids are reading better in school, the building is clean. See a change, it's part of their passion, it's what they really, really like to do. And they have the opportunity to work either individually or collectively, you know, with another, with someone else. So there are social benefits, there are social impact benefits, and there's passion for the work. And then there are other reasons. Sometimes people volunteer for other reasons, which are just as valid, is that it provides an opportunity to gain work experience. You know?
Yes.
And so I recently had a volunteer that was working with me in fundraising. And she was, you know, she moved to a different state, and her, she said, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to learn. So volunteerism can also be a way of learning a new skill, you know, or trying out a new skill as well as expanding one's social network. But what I think is real important about volunteering from a spiritual perspective is that when we give, we open our hands to give, and God can bless you with an open hand. If your fist is closed, you can, it's very hard to receive. So in giving, you are opening up the universe to give you even more.
I believe in that. I truly do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I'm going to do right now is pause for a moment and invite callers to call in and ask a question or make a comment or even share some of their volunteering background and some of the benefits that they've gotten. The call-in number is 917-889-7806. Again, 917-889-7806. Now, you know, if anyone's calling in, we'd be glad to take your call. Just make sure you follow the prompts to speak with the host. You were talking about some of the benefits of volunteering, and what I guess didn't really surprise me a couple of years ago when I was studying to get my natural wellness certificate, and it was talking about some physical benefits of volunteering. And it made sense to me because I do know about the mind-body connection, you know, having been a counselor and a massage therapist and energy healer, I see these interconnections going on all the time. But now there's a growing body of scientific research that's showing that volunteering leads to improved physical and mental health. And the studies have been showing that people who volunteer have lower mortality rates. They have greater functional ability and lower rates of depression later in life than those who do not volunteer. And so this really does impact our older adults. And, you know, I gave it some thought because I'm seeing more and more about this, and I'm thinking about my mom. I just love my mom. I can talk about her all the time, and I have brought her up on other shows, I have to say. But my mom will be 80 in December. And this woman, she does so many things, but she's so active in the church and different committees there. She's president of the town's local senior center. She sits on boards for a community center and does fundraising for them each year and even stars in their yearly play. And she also is on a board that the proceeds from a thrift store go to benefit the local women's shelter. And not only does she sit on the board, but she volunteers at the thrift store selling clothes at least once a month. So, you know, she's such a vibrant woman with a sense of purpose in life. And even though she's widowed and life hasn't always been easy, I don't see signs of depression in her. Other than some arthritis, she's functioning really well. She's been around for a while, and she's just really loving life. And so what is your experience, Claudia, when it comes to our elder citizens who volunteer?
Well, I believe, and we have, our elder citizens are a wealth of experience, of resource, and of time. And I think in this society, it's so important to give them role and a voice and to let them know that they are still appreciated and valued. And they bring so much insight, wisdom, patience, and grace into the workplace. And very often our older people have more time on their hands. They may be semi-retired, as well as the wisdom of experience. At our Community Family Life Services, we have two elders that serve as receptionists for us.
Okay.
They are so gracious in answering the phone, in responding to all of the concerns that our clients bring to them, and they feel they are making a difference in the community, which I think is real important as longevity increases. So they are real viable roles for our elders in the community. I think that we've had elders who've served as mentors. The board is very often elderly people are available to work and serve on boards, as your mother does. They're able to do fundraising. We have people who work as tutors and mentors. So the whole range of opportunities is available to them, but I think the big distinction is they have wisdom and they have time.
Yes.
They have wisdom and they have time, and they bring that grace into their service, and it's just wonderful. I really enjoy working with, you know, our seniors.
I enjoy working with seniors as well. I'm taken back to a time when I worked for 5 years at a hospital, and they had the auxiliary, which was really amazing. Their membership was about, I would say, 1,000. Now, of course, they weren't in the hospital all at one time, we had different entities, a thrift store, et cetera, that we ran. But I got the opportunity to present customer service training to the volunteers. And what a hoot that was, working with the volunteer coordinator and doing the trainings over a course of a period of time. And just, it was such a sensation being in the room with them and with that wealth of knowledge and, as you say, that grace. And just seeing the energy. And I, you know, I remember I would think, wow, I want to grow up and be just like them.
Exactly. Yeah, they are really fantastic. And, you know, definitely I know you look in churches and you see, you know, our elders really taking leadership roles in churches. And they
yes.
take leadership roles in a myriad of different organizations. So, yeah, I think that's very much an untapped resource. And I think it also extends their life because they are
yes.
embraced, they are connected. It gives them something to wake up and do in the morning, and they know they're making a contribution and they feel valued. So, yeah, that's, I think, a very much an untapped resource.
Yes. You know, another population out there of people to volunteer are our youth. I know you mentioned that you have some high school students who call seeking opportunities. I know in college, I think this policy came on a little bit after I had graduated, but they were requiring a service learning component in order to graduate, and I've seen it trickle down to high schools, and I was quite pleasantly surprised to learn that my son's middle school also requires a service learning component. He'll be going into seventh grade this year, and they have a certain number of hours to get. And so, you know, while I have you as a captive audience, Claudia, I'm going to pick your brain. And for, you know, the preteen and teenage set, what might be some good opportunities out there that we parents can tap into to get our kids involved and to start developing these values around the importance of giving back to the community, giving back to the universe?
Well, I think it's real important for families to volunteer together because it's role modeling, it builds family cohesion. There are environmental opportunities for volunteering, like cleaning up the Anacostia River together. There are opportunities to participate in science fairs through the YMCA. There are opportunities to volunteer at museums. There are opportunities to volunteer at soup kitchens. There's just a myriad of opportunities for volunteerism. And I think that in contacting the guidance counselors at schools, that could provide, I think, an interesting resource. I know that we have a national audience listening now. I know for myself, one of the most memorable occasions I spent with my son is we volunteered and painted a health clinic for the homeless, and it was an overnight work camp. And it was sponsored through the Quaker work camps. You know, and many churches have different work camps, but it was a generational volunteer opportunity. And I still remember that, you know, how important it was to do this with him at the time. He was probably about 10 or 12, and we painted a health clinic and, you know, just refurnished it over a weekend and went together with this group to church on Sunday morning to give thanks and to worship together. So I think there are opportunities such as that, cooking for the homeless, painting a mural together. It can, you know, our volunteerism can also be creative, you know. So I think those are, you know, just a myriad of opportunities for youth that can make a difference in the communities in which we live.
That makes sense. I really am looking forward to this endeavor and making it into a family activity. So thank you for that insight.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Now, do you all have opportunities for youth at Community Family Life Services?
Yeah, we do. Our at Community Family Life Services, the ways that most youth volunteer will be to work in our clothing room, either to distribute clothes to persons who are homeless, as well as to clean up that clothing room with all the donations that we get. We have interns that will come from colleges that will work with us on specific projects. We have interns that will sponsor, very often youth will sponsor like a Halloween party or a Christmas party, or will sponsor a pizza party for kids in the after-school program. There are opportunities to read stories. There are opportunities to tutor. There are opportunities to run recreational activities. So youth, if you're talking about under age 18, those are the kinds of things that we have them do. For youth who are college age, we have a number of interns that probably want to go into the field of education or social services, and they will work very closely with staff in providing services to clients and families, as well as provide mentoring.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful.
That's how we engage youth. We've had interns from Howard University, from Catholic University, from the University of the District of Columbia. Under the guidance of our staff, they will facilitate groups. We have the Junior League will come and run a book club. We have book clubs. We have people who come and provide life enhancement and health workshops. We have volunteers that come in to provide. We have volunteers from the bank that come in and provide workshops on budgeting and financial management or home purchasing. So the whatever it is that someone does, if they're interested in doing it for us, we will see if there is a good fit, and we'll make it happen. We had for one of our properties, we had the need to replace a roof, and a roofing company replaced the roof. It wasn't totally volunteer, but it was really for just the cost of the materials to replace the roof. So there are,
I know.
So there's I don't want to limit it saying you can do this, you can do that, you can do the other. I mean, it's like, what is it that you're interested in doing? And then give me a call at 202-347-0511, extension 411, and, see if what you're interested in is something that really meets our needs for volunteers. And usually we have a pretty good match. One thing I don't do is make up work for volunteers. So
okay.
If is a volunteer that's interested in doing something, it will have to meet a real, a real need within the organization.
Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pause once again. Last opportunity, if there's anyone listening out there who would like to actually speak with Claudia Thorne, our guest for this evening, talking about the value in volunteering, you can call in to 917-889-7806. Again, 917-889-7806. And Claudia, you mentioned your contact number. If you could run through that again, a way that folks can contact you if they would like to propose some volunteering opportunity.
Oh, yeah, sure. My number is 202-347-0511, extension 411. My email address is Thorne, Thorne, dot Claudia, Claudia, at gmail.com. And our website is www.cflsdc.org.
Wonderful.
So let me tell you some of what I know I have a need for right now for volunteers. I have a need for someone to really work on developing our monthly e-newsletter that really keeps us in contact with all the people who are interested in the work that we do. And it's a monthly newsletter that goes out just highlighting some of the activities within the organization, our client success stories, different themes that we're working on. It will be great to have somebody put that newsletter together. I always have a need for someone to do fundraising, to make phone calls, and maybe even host special events for us so that we can continue to raise the funds that we need in this economy to offer services to the clients that we serve. And I also would like to have a volunteer that would work with redesigning and updating our website. Those are several key volunteer needs that I have right now. School is coming. We have many kids that are going back to school, and we would love to be able to provide them all with backpacks and basic school supplies that maybe their parents cannot afford to purchase at this particular point in time. So that becomes, I think, a real important volunteer activity that would be so very valuable to our organization. And the needs are endless, but those are three that are most immediate at this particular point in time.
Okay.
And
okay.
We also like to have career coaches for our families and for individuals who are, you know, in the process of seeking jobs, to just perhaps one-on-one kind of coaching with preparing that resume, how to go through a job interview. We have someone on staff that does that, but one-on-one really, really works. And we always have need for mentors for our families and for youth in the foster care program.
Okay. There you have it. That is quite the list.
Yes, quite the list, as well as tutors in our after-school program.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a variety of services, so people with different skill sets and interests could pick and choose what makes sense, what resonates with them, and give you a call shoot you an email.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I look forward to hearing from a lot of people.
Good. I am hoping that you will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to ask you, because I ask every guest this, Claudia, because you spend so much of your time and energy helping others and helping to facilitate healing in all that you do, what is your personal recipe for replenishment, refreshment, renewal? What ingredients, so to speak, do you use to nourish your mind, body, and soul?
Well, every morning that I get up, I read and I journal. And I pray and I meditate and I set my intention for the day. I have to have my head right for myself before I go out to serve and support others.
Yes.
That's what I do. Now, I must admit, being a PhD student and working does not give me a lot of time for doing a lot of that, but I try to have a little mini trip every now and then to change the scenery, to change my perspective. I have this wonderful back porch, and I had family members come over earlier, and they visited with me, and we just sat and talked. I go to the movies, and I would say this, it's an area that I need to work on. I do get massages. I, you know, do those things, but I really need to take a little more self-care of my own self. But that's what I do do. I'm committed to my daily prayer and meditation and journaling.
And that's a common element that I find in most of the guests who have been on the show. I mean, I think everyone is understanding that when you are serving as a vessel and you are pouring forth so much of yourself to others, it's important to make sure that you are replenished. And if you are an empty vessel, you really have nothing to give.
Right, because you have to give from a full cup.
Yeah, yeah. And I think
full cup. And last year, I'll tell you, I was really, really tired. And a friend of mine who's a physician gave, and she said, you have to go away on vacation with me. And she gave me a wonderful analogy. She said, everybody can hold heavy weights. But sometimes you have to, so you have to put it down. You cannot hold a heavy weight, you know, infinitely. You have to put it down mm-hmm. and relax and refresh and take care of yourself. And so I'm mm-hmm. following her advice, and I'm doing a whole lot more of that. Recently I went to New York. That was just a lot of fun, being in the city. You know, it was just wonderful. And I'm looking forward to another truly relaxing vacation pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, and I think this is something also that, you know, we can pass on and urge our volunteers, especially those who volunteer for a long-term basis, and they are very involved. They give, and we want to make sure that we don't burn them out. I know when I've coordinated programs, in after-school program once upon a time, and I utilized some volunteers in my program, I had to really, really look at how I made use of them, because when you burn them out, they're done. You know, and so they have to learn how to make sure they're taking care of themselves and replenishing or putting the weight down for a while to let those muscles smooth out and be strengthened again to pick it back up. So,
yeah, and that's really important, because I think sometimes the best thing you can do for another person is sometimes to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important for those of us who are involved with parenting, who are taking care of elderly relatives, who are doing service and support out in the community. It's so important to just stop and to take care of yourself. But it's also real important for volunteers, for the organizations, to recognize and appreciate them for the service
yes.
that they provide. And we, you know, we do that in many ways. We have support groups for our volunteer mentors. We have volunteer appreciation days and opportunities, just as a way of giving back to those who are giving so much.
Yes. Wonderful. So they know they are appreciated.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I know for a lot of people, just having that feel-good sensation in your heart is good enough. You know, a thank you isn't needed, but I think it's very important that as an organization that there is something formal in place to let people know that you are appreciated, you're a valuable part of the service that we provide, and we couldn't do it without you.
We could not do it without you. You are an integral partner to the success of our clients.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So before we start to close out the evening, I just wanted you to put your contact information out there one more time.
Okay. Claudia Thorne. I am at Community Family Life Services. My phone number is 202-347-0511. My email address is Thorne, Thorne, dot Claudia, Claudia, @gmail.com. And my website, our website is www.cflsdc.org. And I'm
wonderful
hearing from you.
Okay, so people have heard this, and just because you're not in the D.C. metro area where you can volunteer at Community Family Life Services, you can volunteer somewhere that's similar. I mean, I hope this encourages people to go out and check out the resources in the community to see what types of traditional and also outside-the-box volunteering opportunities that there are. Because it sounds like the sky's the limit, truly.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Claudia, I just want to give you my heartfelt thanks for sharing of your energy and your expertise as we talked about the value in volunteering. I'm feeling very inspired, I have to tell you that.
Oh, great.
And I'm really hoping that with this 11-and-a-half-year-old, we can get him going and really get him to see volunteering as an opportunity and not as a chore or a mandate that the school puts on him.
Exactly.
So that is certainly my hope. Yeah, because we do know that giving, it's a reciprocal flow, and we know that giving out, as you say, those open hands, those open palms, allow you not just to give but to receive back. Wonderful.
Yeah, it allows you to give, and it allows you to give, but I think also it's the connection, because we're not isolated, you know, from one another. We are connected to each other, and volunteerism is just a reminder of our connections to one another, which are really so important to our human experience, which is, you know, why if, you know, you look at holding a child who may be in a hospital, why they have grandparents to hold children in hospitals, because they thrive from human contact, you know, and research
yes.
has shown that babies thrive from human contact. But that's built into our DNA and who we are, and that's why there are so many mental health benefits as well as health benefits that are associated with volunteerism. So I thank you for inviting me to be on your show. It's been a divine opportunity and just really a great conversation, Tanya. Thank you so much.
Oh,
I
didn't
know what we
were going to
talk about for an hour, but our hour's nearly up.
You're right. You're right. I just find that if I get out of the way, spirit will have its way,
mm-hmm.
and we'll cover just what we need to cover. It's
mm-hmm.
all good.
Great.
Well,
it
has been wonderful this evening, and thank you again. And I'd like to invite the listeners to tune in again next month, second Sunday at 6 p.m., for more mind, body, and soul food. So, interestingly, our next show, our next broadcast is September 11th. And just by stating that date, you know, I can feel the stress that it evokes in many of us here in the United States following
mm-hmm.
September 11th, 2001, what happened. And so for that day, we will have a panel of experts who will share how to, what we say, de-stress for success. So we're inviting back Christina Ruthizer, who was one of our allergy angels from April, and she's also founder of Stress Monkey Guru, the Stress Monkey Guru blog and services. And so she will give us a point of view from the holistic nutrition perspective. Danielle Hatchell, I know that name is familiar to you, Claudia.
Yes.
She is a licensed counselor and life coach, and she will give us a psychological point of view. And we also have Dana Smith, who just delivered her little one. She is a life coach and yoga instructor, and she will talk to us about yoga and breath work. It's definitely going to be food for the soul. So if you would like to contact me, Tanya Parker, a.k.a. The Natural Sister, my email is Tanya, T-O-N-Y-A, at spiritworks.com. For more information about my healing, teaching, and writing services, or if you're interested in becoming a sponsor for Mind, Body, and Soul Food, you can also go to my website at www.mindbodyandspiritworks.com for upcoming events. And please feel free to connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or even on Blog Talk Radio. So this evening, we have been sustained by exploring the value in volunteering. And for leftovers, here is some mind, body, and soul food to go from a New Zealand Maori proverb. With my resources and your resources, everyone will benefit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for dropping in to partake of a nourishing meal at the Mind, Body, and Soul Food table, and we hope to hear you next time. All right, Gay Adegbolola, let's take it away.
One, two, here I go.
some hot to say.